for us. I'm delighted to be here once again in the place of my roots. The topic for today is how to answer the mission roots. I'm not worried about anybody here falling foul of something.
I'm not worried about anyone
here falling foul of Christian missionaries.
Why not? Are you worried about the work I'm doing?
I'm not worried about people from North Head and Adas being swayed by Christian missionaries. There is, of course, the concept you should know how to answer people who are against you. The truth is that the best way of dealing with the people for the missionaries is to ignore them, is not to enter a debate with them, because that's what they want. They want a debate. And the more that they are mocked and teased and scoffed at, the more they enjoy themselves, because they feel as though that's part of the suffering which they are meant to endure in promoting their cause. That is their way. As a young child, really, my father used to say to me, "They come up to you, just don't bother arguing with them." However, it was very tempting once. When I was walking through Speaker's Corner, it was on a weekday evening when you don't really get anybody there, but the Christians are usually out during the week in full force. And this lady came up to me and she said to me, a very old, sweet lady, she said, "Do you believe in Jay, we'll call him, shall we?" Let's say the name of this building. And I said, "No." She said, "But he's here, he's right here, he's right there, everywhere." I went, Where? And I was tempted a bit just to play a bit of the game of saying, "Well, you know, I can't see anything, I can't take out of what you're talking about." But I got away from her and that was the end of it. But you will always get people who do try to enter a dialogue with you, and they know that you will argue with them, but eventually they believe that they will be able to capture people, and unfortunately they do capture people. It's often those who are ignorant, people who do not understand our heritage, and it's often people who are lonely and who need company, and they manage to exploit that vulnerability which lonely people have. There is so much written on the subject on how to combat Christianity that it would not be doing the subject any justice to talk about it for just time for now. To give you an idea of the many works, there was the famous Disputations of the Ramban at Barcelona in 1263, when he was allowed to sit with the king for a debate, but although he won the debate, he had to leave the country afterwards. There is a very famous work called Chizuk Emunah, which was written, strangely enough, by a Karaite, but was published in English by the Sefer Hermann Press, called Faith Strength to Chizuk Emunah, where he goes right through the so-called New Testament, and one by one shows how it's full of lies and contradictions and heresies. There is nothing absolutely consistent about the so-called Christian faith, the Jewish answer to Christianity. And this book, in fact, as it's written at the back, this book was written in the 16th century and is regarded as the forerunner of many objections to Christianity which led to the various revolutions of the 17th and 18th century. What might look a bit more Heimish is a sefer called Otsavikuchim. Otsavikuchim is part of the Eisenstein set, where there was Otsalam Rechazal and an encyclopedia Otsay Israel. And Eisenstein put together in the 1910s and 1920s collections of works. And in this sefer, he put collections of all the classic dialogues of various rabbis with Christians, arguing against them and disproving their various theories. Perhaps the first work is the one which I've quoted in the past, and that's the Khazari. Yehuda HaLevi had the dispute, or shall I say, introduced the king of the Khazars to various disputes. He was searching the world for truth. He questioned the philosopher, he questioned the Muslim, he questioned the Jew. He also questioned the Christian before he came to the truth. And that's what I intend to start with, very briefly. And The unfortunate thing, though, about the Khuzuri is that it was heavily censored. Christians did censor various Jewish works in the earlier centuries, and this, no doubt, was one of them. And this is confirmed by something we're going to come to from the Hasam Sofer. So we'll start off with the Khuzuri. And the page that you have on the right-hand side, we come down to the lower part, is talking about the Christians saying, Ani ma'amin b'chidush hanidrash. So that's about 8 or 9 lines from the bottom of the right-hand side. The Christians are saying, I believe in the creation of God, as outlined in Bereishis, that he created the world, and Shubhara Sa'olam Kulebashesh Yamin. Shikalam Adabrim said, Sa'olam Atharei Kain Sa'olam Noach. And everything that happened in the book of Bereishis, I accept it all. Well, it's such a renowned work. At that time, everybody accepted what was written in the Torah. So the Christians found that they had to adopt it as their base. And he carries on talking about the various stories of Sipra B'nai Yisrael, Sipra B'nai Yisrael, Sha'ein Sothek Mami Sothson. There is no doubt about their truth. By the Lord Shimon, because they were so well known and famous. Those of you last time will remember we spoke about seeing and believing, where there were multitudes of people. The Heglusom, the revealing, Hamonim Magdolim, with lots of crowds. And then he says about Harisom, but after all that, the Glusom, Nikshmo, and Akus, the concept of the godly presence, I over the reckoning of the Synod of the Seals for Nikshmo. It then transposed itself into the womb of a Basula, of a virgin amongst the princely crowds of Israel. The Elba as her Anushe Hanira, and born to her was born a person, Elakainista, a hidden god, Novi Shluach Hanira, a prophet sent and revealed. Elash Shluach Hanista, he was a hidden god, Elu HaMashiach Hanikva Ben Elohim, and we call him the Mashiach, the son of God, who Elba, I wouldn't say his word, were it not in, written in the Kuzari. Ruah Elba Ben Ruach HaKodesh, we can translate that. This is called the threesome. Namibo, we believe in, etc. And he outlines, therefore, the concept of the Christian faith. And ending that paragraph, he ends up with his famous words, Lo bossi listom mitzvah mitzvah spenek. So I never came to hide or do away with any mitzvah of the Israelites. The motion of Leon Abel Bossi, the house coming up, but I came to strengthen them. Perhaps the most contradictory sentence ever pronounced in the history of mankind. What bigger confidence drink has there ever been, and what bigger lie has there ever been in all human history? So the Khuzuri writes in the version that we have, Omar Khuzuri, this is towards the bottom then of the 11th, of the left hand side, Ava Kalbach and the Svara. Sorry, there's more here. Anyone have their hand up? Ava Kalbach and the Svara. I don't find anything logical about this sequence. I find the logical concept of this far away from me to try to adapt. As somebody who's coming into this independently, from outside, trying to look afresh at all the various religions. When you talk about matching up proofs and tests, actually, when a person could try and believe in something, and not to pursue any other way, to believe in something which is clear cut before him. Yishakim, the person will be wise, to be able to ask. In Hololaat, and one should come slowly to understand something, until something which is far away from him will become understood to him. And then he talks about understanding nature as it is, and then being able to ask questions. And as you see them, Yishakim, then you become wise. But he says, I cannot, with my limited knowledge, be able to grasp how Shem Kadoshim me. These are things which are new to me. Logodalti alayhem. I didn't grow up in it. The idea is that the Christian faith talks about they believe, but they cannot give you a consistent approach of logic like Yiddishkeit comes after this in the Pusari, where the Jew talked about seems believing by crowds, millions of people saw this in the blood, and also the punchline which was adopted, consistency and continuation. But continuation is Moshe Kibbutz and the Sinai, the Sono Shua, the Shores of Canaan and the Vienna, the Amalche Knesset Adona, that there's a continuous run all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, whereas in Christianity, he says suddenly there's a break, and out of nowhere, out of the blue, comes what you call a virgin birth. Look, where from?
There is no proof, there is no evidence. Why should one believe it?
Here is a case that he's saying that you're talking about the implantation of something godly in a woman. Nobody saw it, and the concept of believing, where you had millions of people seeing it, Siyas Mitzrayim, you had millions of people seeing the mon in the wilderness for 40 years, why is there anything here to go by? Now, I'm not suggesting for one moment that this person, Yoshidi, did not do anything which was against the laws of nature. This is all documented. There are books on the subject. That the traditional story is that he managed to break into the Beis HaMikdash, and he managed to get hold of the hidden name, the Shem HaMikdash. There was a device used with certain kinds of lions outside, that if anybody would try and steal the Shem HaMikdash, they would be scared so much when they exit that they would drop it and run away. He, however, opened up his skin, sewed it up inside, and managed to get away with it. And he managed to do certain things against the rules of nature by stealing the Shem HaMikdash. And there was somebody called, a rabbi called Yehuda, not the Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, there was a Rabbi Yehuda who knew the Shem HaMikdash and just copied him on everything he was doing. Until they were actually fighting each other up in midair, and Yoshki had a seminal discharge, so the power of the Shem HaMikdash stopped and he just collapsed to the ground. This is all documented, there are lots of stories about it, and I'm happy to give you further references about it if you want to pursue it. So, one of those stories, the way it's documented, is in here. As to what happened, how she became pregnant, she had Urusin, somebody called the Rabbi Yochanan. She didn't get out of the suit, so she was called a married woman. And this Joseph Kandari, whatever his name was, lurked in the shadows in the dark and pretended he was Rabbi Yochanan and told her, yes, everything's okay, it's legal now. And the as I said, the unfortunate thing about the Kuzari is that it was heavily censored, and we don't know how much of it was censored. What we do have on the next page of the handout is a very interesting piece of the Pasuk Sofer Ala Torah. This is the ordinary parish of the Pasuk Sofer on the Chumash. This is not his parish on the Gemara, on Pasha's not either. And you see on the left hand column the word Hain with an asterisk. The asterisk denotes that this was written by his Talmidim and added to what he has written, and they wrote this in his name as something that he said. Hey, B'nai Yisrael, O Shemuelai. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, look, the Jewish people, they don't listen to me, but Eichishmoyi Paro, this is one of the Talmud Chombers in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, how on earth do you expect Paro to listen to me if the Jews don't listen to me? I went to them and said, I'm going to deliver you and everything from Hashem. They gave me a cold shoulder, so I'm going to go to Paris. And here I ask the Messiah, I even stutter, so I don't qualify to do the job properly. How on earth can you expect me to do this? And Hashem says, don't worry, everything will be all right. You will go ahead and carry out Shlichus on my behalf. The Yesh Lefarish, and I can explain this as the Chasam Sofer, I'll be Mashahuva the Kuzari. On the basis of what is written in the Sefer Kuzari, and he writes in brackets, the Fus Yashon Shom Amsterdam, an old printed version from Amsterdam, Ki the Kuzari and Hachadoshim Nishmatzeh. This has been deleted by the censors in the Kuzari versions that we have nowadays. And the Chasam Sofer was already 250 odd years ago. Sha'amar Notzri, the Christian says, La Melech Kuzari, to the king of the Khuzars, Moshe Rabbeinu lo bo l'sakein el ol Yisrael. Oh, Moses, he just came to improve the Jews. I will have no tree, but the Christian came bo l'sakein kol ha'olam, He came to improve the whole world. The charlatan. So the Khuzar asks the Christian, did he indeed improve the whole world? Did he succeed in his mission? The Haitian. And the Christian answers, well, no, he didn't quite succeed. But those peoples who did not receive him, they are sinners and cursed people. So, yeah, those who did not adopt the Christian faith, they are the sinners. But no, not everybody followed the way. Bashalo. So the Khuzari asks the Christian, surely God knows the future. The Eich Ishlach Shliach, how could he possibly send a messenger? How could he possibly send the Shliach who will not, in his strength, carry out what he's told to do and to complete his mission? And he drives him out, kicks him out. What is the Khuzari saying? The Khuzari is saying a very interesting and fundamental concept. When God asks somebody specifically to go on a mission, God knows that that person is able to fulfill the mission. God knows that that person will be able to complete the mission. And God also knows that if that person is unable to complete the mission, he would have never asked him in the first place. Look through Tanakh. When God asks various Nevi'im and so on to do a mission, they always did it. Even Jonah, who ran away, the story of Nineveh, even he who ran away, in the end, completed his mission and carried it out. God knows what happens in the future, says the Khuzari. So if you're telling me that here is the Christian who was told by God to change the world and improve it and to get everybody to follow the faith, but he never did he? No, he didn't. Well, that's the proof that he isn't a messenger of God. This was censored. I did, in fact, some time ago, when I was in the Oxford area, go to the Bodleian Library, which has many old books and manuscripts, and try to find whether they had there this De Fush Yosham Shal Amsterdam, the old version from Amsterdam, which the Chasam Sofer refers to. They do have there two versions of the Khuzari from Amsterdam, very, very old ones, written, published before the Chasam Sofer's time, but they're written in Spanish, and from what I decided from those versions, it did not have this particular piece in it. There are also various versions of Khuzari which have come out of Israel, where they claim to have put back various sets of parts. They also do not have this piece in it. But the fact that it's written in the Chasam Sofer Al HaTorah, I found very significant indeed. If we turn to the next page, we've got a piece of Rambam. And the various concepts which I'm saying today are not just applicable to Christian missionaries, but other cults as well, who talk about their false messiahs or whatever. So it's interesting to see what the Rambam says about Mashiach. Who is he and what sort of super person will he be if he is super at all? Perek Achados, Sarah HaMelech HaMashiach, Osid Lamod, Olahavsim, Malchus Dovid Leosha. So these Christians are saying that their leader is not just simply what they call an alleged son of God, but he's also the Messiah. Well, the Melech HaMashiach, Osid Lamod, Olahavsim, Malchus Dovid Leosha. Who is the Melech HaMashiach? He is somebody who will return the Malchus Dovid back to what it was before, the Memshol HaRishonah. Uvona Hamikdosh, and you'll succeed in building the Beis Hamikdosh, Umekabit Nitzei Yisrael, and to succeed in the ingathering of the exiles. The Chosen Kalamishbotim, and he will return the Jewish laws, Yomod, Kishayim, and Kodim, as they were before, Makrivin Karbonos, and there will be the Karbonos, those in Shemit and Lodius, and Yovnus, and will have Shemit and Yovnus properly, the Chol Mitzvahs, and Rabbi Torah, etc. And anyone who doesn't believe in him is a kofar. So if you can imagine an advertisement in a newspaper asking somebody to apply for the job of Mashiach, well, what are the criteria? There is going to be a job description. And what is that job description? Well, the Rambam's given it to us. And we will know by this job description whether that person is eligible to apply for the job or whether that person has succeeded in proving that he is already that person. So if we run our eye down the page to Gimel, don't think in any way that this person will be doing any signs and wonders We're creating new things. Or we're bringing people back to life. Etc. Ein hadavar kach. This will not be so. Shehari Rabbi Akiva Chochem Gadol. Rabbi Akiva was a great, great man in Chochmei Mishnah Hoya from the times of the Mishnah. And he himself was taken in with Bar Kochba. And he always thought that he was the Mashiach. Until this fellow died with his sins, and they knew that he wasn't the Mashiach once he had died. They never asked him for any signs or wonders. That's the main thing. The Torah, nothing changes about it. And anybody who thinks they can add from it, and anybody who thinks they can say that Shabbos is on a Sunday or to change anything whatsoever, that is proof that he is not the Mashiach. And apart from Bar Kochma, there were others. There was also the story of the Shabtai Tzvi. I heard the story about the Shabtai Tzvi, that some people once came along on horseback to spy on him, and they looked through the window of his home to see him sleeping. And they saw that he was sleeping, lying on his stomach. And they went away saying, now we know that he is not the Mashiach. Why? There is a din that one should try not to sleep on his stomach because it could sexually arouse a person. And they saw he was sleeping on his stomach, that's enough for us to know that he is not the Mashiach. Dalet, the Inyanov Melech Mibes Domit. Hoge Batoah, if a person comes along and he's straight in Torah, but Osek Belitzus, and he keeps everything properly, Kedomit Ovid, Kefi Toshav Iksav, the Shebal Peh, according to the Mishnah as well. The Yikov Kalisor Lelichbo, and he encourages other people, Lechazek, in it, the Elohim Lechamas Hashem, he fights the wars of Hashem, Harizeb Cheskas Shu Mashiach, that is Chazoka the Mashiach, in Osav Hitzliach, and if he succeeds in it, and he builds the base, and he builds his place, the Kovas Nitheitro, and he succeeds. This is the hardest bit. All these Jews who love their posh homes wherever they are in the diaspora, and he succeeds in getting them to Israel. Harizeh Mashiach Bavadai. So although the Jewish agency has succeeded in getting many people to live in Israel, they haven't succeeded in getting everybody. And of course, they have to fulfill the other criteria as well of keeping all the halachas. But whoever does, Harizeh Mashiach, that is the proof that he is Mashiach. But Yisakin is to Olam Kulo Lavedus Hashem B'yachad. And that will be the day, hopefully, speedily, in our time.
What is it, the fighting the wars of Hashem, what does that actually mean?
Well, I do know that there are certain people who have different ways of translating this. What does Milchamos Hashem mean? I deliberately didn't go into any of these explanations. I think the traditional translation of this will be Gog and Magog, Milchemes Mitzvah, when people attack the Jews. And we have to fight back. There are even those who quote from Zechariah to show that the Six Day War and the Yom Kippur War were the Milchemes Gog and Magog. If they were, well, let's hope that we have them behind us and that we won't have to have them repeated. But I can only show you the words of the Rambam, and I'm not qualified enough to start saying to you, well, really, the Chumah doesn't mean this, but it means something else. There are certain people who try to do this. So, we've now got a different approach when it comes to the missionaries. I've spoken to you about the Kuzari and the general philosophies. I've spoken to you about the Rambam's criteria for Mashiach. We've got also another aspect we could approach, but I'm not really going into, and that's the constant mistranslations of the Christians. I've told you about this. The most classic ones are the words Vesula or Almo. What they do is they take this piece out of context from Yeshaya, which talks about a woman. Almo means a young woman. The Hebrew for a virgin is Vesula. So they translate Almo wrongly as Vesula, as a virgin. And they talk about this name Emmanuel. He was never given the name Emmanuel. A woman will give birth. Alright, a woman will give birth. So many of these mistranslations, there's also a classic one, if you ever want to see if it's a Christian translation of Tanakh, or if it's a Jewish translation of Tanakh, you turn to the second paragraph of Tehillim, where it says the word Nashguvar, and the Christians mistranslate the phrase. Var means purity. In Aramaic it means a son, but none of Tehillim, any of Tehillim is written in Aramaic. The Christians say, oh, this is, Lavar means the son. Var in Aramaic means a son. So in the Christian church, at least they write, kiss the son, with capital H. This is something which repeats itself continuously in Tanakh, how they mistranslate. There are even some very good websites which are anti-missionary now. There's the Jews for Judaism, which was a response to the Jews for J movement, which goes through all their arguments and crashes them one by one without any difficulty. There isn't time for us to go through that. But amongst all the various arguments in the Otsa Mikuchim, I have taken one page, which is on your next handout. And this is a piece which was... there was an argument between a Rabbi Yitzchok Lopez, a Sephardi rabbi about 300 years ago, and a Christian. And I find it one of the most fascinating dialogues. The Mumma, the Christian, you see him talking on the right hand side, is trying to prove that Yeshu, Nosan Lomu Torah Chadosha, he says, he gave us a new law and we could change things, Lehitekola Asurim, and he allowed many things which are prohibited in the Torah, Uvitakav Kokonos, and he tries to quote things to justify what he says. If you look at the top of the next column, the fifth line, it says, "Zman Mashiach, kol haMitzvos tispat, lano afilu matzos haPesach." He says the mitzvah will be annulled, even the matzah of Pesach. I wanted to connect up this talk with Pesach, as we're all in the mood. Kedisa v'Ikarava, as it says in the Medrash, "Asidim kol haMardos libota." In future, all the Yom Tovim will no longer exist, Chutz Mipurim the Yom HaKippurim, except for Purim and Yom Kippur, so he alleges. V'gam kein hachazer hamos, the dirty pig she'atem makbidim kol kach, which is so particular not to eat, oz yeh mutarachem, as it says, Ramu chachmechen shmik shmo chazer, why is it called chazer? Because of the word lachzer, to return the fisha osir hakon shpot, because one day in the future will be allowed. He says, you see, everything will change, and he talks about the Karbonos and so on. And so the Yehudi starts talking at the bottom of that column. He says, your wish to try and do away with the whole of Taras Moshe goes directly against what Yeshu said. If you go to the top of the third column, Yeshu lo bo listo v'larka, he didn't come to change anything, so he said, afilu nekuda achas in Taras Moshe. How can you say that the laws of the Torah are now bottom? He himself said, Lo tachshuki bossi lahatir, he's quoting here from Matthew, I think, O Laka, I didn't come to allow anything or change anything. I'm a Torah divinity, but bossi lahashlim olakaimon. But there isn't enough time for us to go through all this. But what I'd like to do is go on this business about the Yom Tovim. Because you hear this piece quoted a lot. That one day in the future, the Yom Tovim won't exist anymore, except for the Yom Kippur. The truth is that's not so. There will always be a Pesach and a Shavuos and a Sukkot, because the Torah says so. And if the Torah says so, that's the way it will be. So what does it mean, Osir Libota? So he says there in the fourth column, if you come up to the first part of the last column on the left, and let's read from the fourth line. Kavanas Chazal, what did Chazal mean? Onam shivatnu ha-mardim. When you do away with the mardim, I say shivatnu zichirosam lezeche tiyas mitzrayim. He says this is what's going to be. It will be that the Torah is now saying, you keep Pesach to remember the coming out of Egypt. Okay. Ya begula sida yu nisim yosek adolim. For the following begula, when the Shiach comes, there will be even greater miracles. Mekriyas yamsu. Greater than the 10 plagues, greater than the splitting of the Red Sea, she'aseh Hashem yisparach. V'alidezeh yishkicha nisim ha'resholim. He says, and in the future, when we sit on Seder night, we'll be talking about those miracles which happened at the time of the Mashiach, because they will be so stunning and amazing that they will put the nisim of the Yetzias Mitzrayim into the background. V'alzeh ma'anovi, v'lo yom ha'ozcha Hashem, etc. This will all happen. V'cheinam chazal. It's not that you will do away with remaining Yitzias Mitzrayim. That the future world will be the main thing. Yitzias Mitzrayim is a failure. And it will be the top, though. It will be ancillary. Why do we say Purim and Yom Kippur? Because there is no zeichel letzias Mitzrayim. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot have a resemblance to Sukkot. Purim, who makes us of the Golos, the Yom Kippur, we will still be celebrating Purim for the same reason. We'll still be having Yom Kippur for the same reason of Teshuvah. The Chayim, Yasmit Zicharonon, they will remain the same. And the Chazir, it carries on to say, is that we don't know the reason for prohibiting the Chazir. We don't know why we're not allowed to eat the Chazir. It's a chok. The Torah doesn't give reasons for chokim. And in the future, the reasons will come back to us. The understanding will come back to us. The knowledge will come back to us. And that is why we will then know for sure why we don't eat the Chazir. I understand that they did find some animals in Israel, which they called a breeder pig, which was chewing the cards and passing the hoof. They were saying, oh, maybe this is the Chazir of the future, which we will be allowed to eat. Well, it's probably a different species, if it can chew the cud. That is not a Chazir. We don't know. We will have many things revealed to us. But, yes, sorry, I understand you have to go on.
I have to go to the Lego this year, but... With regard to earlier point about the Rambam, and the Ramban rather, and his disputation, that disputation was translated into English some years ago by the Jewish Historical Society. I have a copy, if any would like to borrow it.
Thank you. I was looking for mine last night. What did I do with it? I don't know what to do.
Excuse me, why did I include Rosh Hashanah in that?
Yeah.
You're sitting for Purim and then for Purim. I can see where Rosh Hashanah is the exempt piece of the Shrine connection, but why not Rosh Hashanah?
Rosh Hashanah is not a Yom Tov which is to... Well, they call it the New Year, right? But it's not commemorating an event. Right, we could say it's commemorating the creation of the world. But Shabbos does that every single week. And it's true, that will not change, and we still celebrate the creation of the world. Rosh Hashanah is a time of Teshuvah, and I would therefore link it to Yom Kippur as being something associated with Teshuvah. It's not anything to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not anything to do with our history of experience like Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. But I would have suggested it's part of the Yom Kippur, even though we don't put an emphasis so much. It's the shofar, the historis for Teshuvah, and so on. It's not like the Goyim have a new year to celebrate. I get asked by a guy, do you stay up till midnight to bring in the new year? I would think it more to the idea of Yom Kippur. And a time for prayer, to ask for the following year to be successful. But it's not a commemoration like place of Shavuos services. But interesting point.
Would there be additional Yom Kippur? These missing the time of Mashiach. I mean, will there be additional Yom Kippur to celebrate those?
Well, we do know that Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Kippur to celebrate the new era. And that's why we don't even say Tachan now on Tisha B'Av. And as what's written here, we know that the Yom Tovim, which we have already, will assume new meanings to commemorate the Mashiach's miracles. So whether there will be further Yom Tovim beyond that...
Maybe the other Taniyot would also be Tovim.
Oh yes, there's something about that. But all the Taniyot, which, apart from Yom Kippur, will have some celebration about them. That's true. So, yeah, we've got lots to look forward to.
Going back to the equation from Matthew, that would be easy, isn't it? In the answer, where it says that Yoshki so claims that he has not believed the Torah. Historically, the first Christians were Judeo Christians. They kept that differentiation. They kept the Torah, kept the field on everything. It was, I think, really about Paul. The later people, they're the ones that wanted to make a nafkamina between.
You're right. It's traditionally accepted that Yoshki was keeping the traditional. Precepts to that extent. We do know that he was a bit of a rebel among the Sanhedrin and so on. But as far as Shabbos being on the seventh day of the week is concerned, he did not change it. His followers later changed it. The point to remember though is this, that if Yoshki did say, we haven't come to change anything, then his followers did not toe that line. And so the way things were set in motion from the beginning was that it was a complete breakaway from the Torah. In no way could expect to be called the true faith as they are alleged to be.
You could be grateful that there was that break without that. It's trying to be more, like reform.
Yes, reform as a source are much more deceptive because they appear to be nearer to us. And they are far more dangerous to challenge us and to attract breakaways than the Christian faith is. Yes, very true. So that, in a nutshell, is how to answer missionaries if you do ever have to end up in a debate with them. As I said, it's better not to. It's very difficult, as I said, in the time that we have to cover everything. But these are the core elements, which I hope do give us something. And apart from being a response to the Christian faith, I think there are various other faiths as well to which we can apply these principles, what we've been saying, particularly the Rambam in his criteria for Mashiach, because this idea has thrown so much at us from Mashiach. If he gives us and lays down the criteria as to who the Mashiach will be, then we will know that any suggestion of anybody else being the Mashiach, we can put against these qualifications, and if that person will not conform to those qualifications, then we know that it's not Mashiach. Thank you very much.